Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
It's Tony D here on the nighttime on Yahoo Sports Radio. Again, taking a look at our New Year's Eve bowl games, the Orange Bowl down in Miami. It'll be Clemson taking on Oklahoma. Very, very good matchup there. You would expect when you get to the college football playoff. Brad Senkiff joins us from orangeandwhite.com and also Independent Mail covers the Clemson Tigers, the only undefeated team in the college football playoff. How are you, Brad?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
Good. All right. Let's get an idea of how Clemson is dealing with this month off and the pressures of this game. What's the mood of the team as leading up to New Year's Eve?
Well, you know, this is a very confident team. You don't get this far without a lot of confidence. And, you know, these guys have been pretty much focused all year on one thing, and that's just being Clemson. They feel like if they do what they're supposed to do and execute the way they're supposed to execute, then they can beat anybody in the country. And so far, it's obviously worked. The 13-0. Heading into this game against Oklahoma. So they feel pretty good. Whether that lasts is hard to say because there are reports that three players are being sent home for failing some drug tests. So that could change the mood of things down here real quickly. Debo Sweeney is going to talk more about it on Wednesday morning, and we'll get the full report on exactly what is going on with that.
Are the three players that were suspended, I know one of them is Deion Kane, are they impact players for this team?
Well, Kane definitely is. I mean, he's one of the most talented receivers on this roster. His loss would change some things scheme-wise. He runs a lot of screens, and he's probably their best deep ball receiver. How much it impacts what they do and how effective they are, I think will depend more on the health of Artavis Scott, who is their best receiver, and Ray McCloud, another talented freshman. Those two guys have had some injury issues. Artavis Scott had his knee worked on, had some meniscus issue that he got cleaned up during the break. We don't know how exactly 100% he will be. He did not have the explosiveness the last four or five games, so it's going to be very important that he gets that back if Clemson wants to survive the loss of Deion Kane.
In terms of Dabo Sweeney, I want to get an idea of this coach because he's really blown up on the national scene. The way he runs this team, I hear pizza parties. He seems to be a fun guy. He seems to be a player's guy. Is this an act or is this real? I mean, is this a real guy that is this fun?
Yes, he is. He is. I mean, his players absolutely love playing for him. He's one of those ultimate player coaches that these guys, you know, because he really does. You hear this. He does care about them off the field. You know, you hear guys say that all the time because of that. But he seems to really do that. His players have so much respect for him. You know, no one says a negative thing about this guy on that team. And, you know, he just comes across as he seems. He is who he is. And, you know, a lot of things that people don't see is just how structured he is. And his whole foundation is built around preparation and planning, and that's why Clemson has been so successful five straight years of 10 wins or more. He believes it's because of that structure he gives these kids. These are 18, 19, 20-year-old kids. Structure is a very good thing for these young men, and they respect him for that, and that has, in turn, I believe, helped them play harder for him.
In a state where Steve Spurrier was getting a lot of the national attention, there's Dabo Sweeney building something in Clemson. Brad, looking at this team, did you sense that this kind of year was on the horizon, an undefeated season, a number one ranking?
A little bit, yes, because we actually, when we put our preview stuff together back in August, our focus, our theme was playoff, because we thought this team had a chance, we thought they could be good enough to get there. I still didn't pick it. You know, I looked at the roster. I said, they got to worry about this, this, and this. A lot of defensive players to replace. Continuity on the offensive line. Big question marks. But they've solved most of those questions. And so while I will never risk a team to go undefeated, I just think that's not fair to put those expectations on a team. But I thought if things fell right and they got past Louisville and they got past Notre Dame, that having Florida State at home, I thought this team could make a run, and I think after that Notre Dame game is when it really started to kind of sneak in that, yeah, this team could run the table.
In terms of the matchups, here comes Oklahoma with this incredible air offense, and a lot different than when these two teams met in the Russell Athletics Bowl. But one of the matchups people are liking is Sterling Shepard against Mackenzie Alexander. Give us an idea of how you see that shaping up.
Well, it's going to be a lot different than last year. Sterling Shepard was not healthy. I talked to him the other day. You know, he said he couldn't get off the line of scrimmage. He just didn't have that explosiveness, that quickness. And, you know, he lost that battle. I mean, Mackenzie Alexander absolutely shut him down last year. I don't know if that'll be as much the case this year. Shepard is very healthy. He's one of the best receivers in the country. Mackenzie Alexander is one of the best shutdown corners in the country. So, you know, the thing about Mackenzie is he hasn't played quite at the level that I think some people probably expected this year. He's gotten beat a few times, and he's going to get some good receivers, and he locked down Will Fuller better than anybody else in the country did when they beat Notre Dame. So this will be a very entertaining matchup. I just think it's going to be a little more 50-50 than it was a year ago, and whoever wins that matchup is going to give their team, you know, a leg up in this game.
Obviously, with Mayfield's numbers, it's hard to put him in comparison to other quarterbacks. But I'm trying to get an idea, Brad. Did Clemson this year play any team that had a quarterback similar as like Mayfield, who can run? He was a threat to run. He could scramble, run around the field, throw it across the field if he had to. Was there any quarterback in the ACC or even non-conference that Clemson played similar to what Mayfield does?
Not really. Not in the sense that he does it. I think the closest guy would be Marquise Williams from North Carolina. Now, he doesn't scramble, obviously, as well inside the pocket as Baker Mayfield does. And, you know, Mayfield is almost Johnny Manziel-like, but the way he can elude defenders and get out of the way and throw through, you know, passing lanes. But Williams had that running threat, and he could hit the broadside of a barn for about three quarters against them in the ACC championship game. So they were able to keep him in that pocket and limit him what he could do. You know, I don't think Baker Mayfield is going to be locked into that pocket nearly as much. You know, Clemson likes to blitz. You know, Brent Venables, defensive coordinator, very active, loves to get guys in there, wants to get to the quarterback. But that may play against them a little bit if Mayfield is able to get out of the way and make some plays. So they really haven't seen a guy of this caliber, and really I don't think many teams have seen a guy like Baker Mayfield.
Brad Senkiff joins us. OrangeandWhite.com covers the Clemson Tigers, also for the Independent Mail out in Clemson. Brad, in terms of Deshaun Watson, we know the Heisman-like year that he's had. We talked about Baker Mayfield. Give people an idea of the strength of Deshaun Watson.
Well, I compare him to like a point guard in basketball because he can dictate the pace of a game. He can decide who gets the ball. He understands spacing. He really runs the show. I don't think he gets enough credit for the amount of time and effort he has to put into running that offense. Right now, he's extremely hard to defend because he's running the football, and he's getting 100-yard gains. And when he's doing that, it makes it very difficult because you can't spy him. You can't put a spy on him because he's a 70% passer, and he will find the hole. He will recognize it pre-snap, one of his biggest strengths, and he will get rid of the ball into that hole. And he absolutely knows what he's doing in this offense. And I think that's the biggest difference from him early in the year to now is the command that he has. He trusts every one of his players. I don't know if that was the case early in the year, especially when they lost Mike Williams to a neck injury, his top receiver. I think it took some time for him to fill this offense out, let his knee heal, and now you see the full product. This is what Deshaun Watson was recruited to do. They thought that he would be the kind of quarterback that could take this offense to another level, and I think he's done that.
What kind of defense does Brent Venables have against the run? Because if they're going to throw the ball all over the place, they certainly can run with Piran. How does Clemson do against the run?
Well, they've been pretty well. They've taken away the run from several teams this year. Clemson's biggest problem is it gives up big plays, and some of those have been in the run game as of late. It's a team that just seems to sometimes, you know, just miss assignments and be out of position. You can't do that against Oklahoma. If that happens, you know, Piran, Mixon, these guys can take you to the house. And Clemson knows that. And I think the biggest key to stopping the run is going to be the safety. And how much do they have to creep up? Because if they have to use their safety run, and the safeties played really well earlier in the year and not as well later in the year, which is some of the reason for the big plays. But if those two safeties, Jayron Kearse and T.J. Green, have to come up more, it's going to set things up for play action, and that's when Oklahoma's really going to hurt Clemson. So Clemson's going to have to do their best to try to keep those two running backs in there, keep them from getting to the outside. I don't know if they can do it consistently enough, though.
In terms of Brad, in terms of being tested, it was those emotional games against Notre Dame and Florida State. Those games were at home. How tested is this? Has this Clemson team been this year?
Extremely tested. I mean, I don't have any doubt that they've been through enough battles, had enough adversity. You know, I mean, 13-0 is 13-0. It doesn't matter where you do it, how you do it. And, you know, these kids have gone through a lot. Every football team has, if you're still playing at this point, for something that matters. And they've been in the spotlight. You know, they were on that national television game against Notre Dame, you know, Florida State, the ACC Championship. They're not afraid of this stage. And I think you can see that with the way they talk down here in Miami and just the way that they're presenting themselves. This is a mature team. A lot of young kids on this team, but there's some maturity. Not all of them mature, as they, you know, had to get rid of three guys and send them home. But I just think from an emotional standpoint, not much seems to rattle this team. And that reflects Deshaun Watson, because that's who he is. He does not get rattled. And I think that the team rallies around him and really takes on the face of this program is Deshaun Watson.
Brad Senkiff again, orangeandwhite.com. Clemson will be taking on Oklahoma in the Orange Bowl on New Year's Eve, part of the college football playoff. Brad, great talking to you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it as always.
Yeah, no problem. I enjoyed it. Talk to you next time.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. On the Clemson Tigers, again, Oklahoma, great matchup there too. And again, you're going to get these great matchups, but boy, I look at the way, and he touched on it. These two teams played last year in the Russell Athletics Bowl, but this is not the same teams. I mean, this is Baker Mayfield, Deshaun Watson, this is a totally different teams. This is guys who played in it, obviously, but this is now a totally different setting. But the way Mayfield plays is so, you draw it up, and it's like Sandlot play sometimes. I mean, he is so good at improvising. He is so good at maximizing things around him, and there isn't anybody that Clemson has played that are like him. So you get pressure, you try to take away receivers, you use Mackenzie Alexander as best you can on Shepard to try to cover that. There's many ways Oklahoma can score. They can run the ball really well. They can throw the ball really well. Maybe it gets to a shootout and it becomes a Mayfield-Watson matchup. I mean, Oklahoma's favored in this game, but at the same time, this Clemson team has found ways to win. They are a fun team to watch. They've got a very smart coach in Dabo Swinney, who kind of walked on this job. He was given an interim job. He earned the job. And again, think about being in a state with South Carolina with Steve Spurrier at the time Spurrier was winning stuff, right? Steve Spurrier had the Gamecocks nationally ranked. They were competing for SEC East titles. They were landing Marcus Lattimore. They were landing Jadeveon Clowney. They were picking up the big recruits in the state. And Sweeney has to go up against that and has slowly built up this team. You can make the case about their conference. People have. Hey, if Clemson was in the SEC, we wouldn't even be talking about them right now. If Clemson was in the Big 12, you wouldn't even be talking about them right now. But 13-0 is 13-0, and this is a fun team to watch. And they are led by a legit quarterback that is not putting up phony numbers. Those are real numbers. Those are good. He is capable of beating this Oklahoma team. 800-777-2907. It is Tony D here on the Nighttime on Yahoo Sports Radio. Continue to look at the Eagles, what they're going to do now. They've sent Chip Kelly packing next on Yahoo Sports Radio.